8 as we continue in Psalms. So, just let's have a quick review. We are walking through Psalms multiple times, looking at it from different directions. Our first time through, we looked at the prophecies in Psalms. 133 verses in Psalms are prophetic, most of them about the Lord Jesus Christ's ministry on earth, some about in the future, his return. After that, we looked at the verses in Psalms that teach us about prayer. So not necessarily the prayers of Psalms, of which there are many, but what it teaches us about prayer. Can anybody remember one verse from Psalms that teaches us about prayer? There's heaps that are very important to our understanding of prayer. Can anybody remember one? Even kind of remember it. All right, how about Psalm 66:18? If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Amen? That's an important one, isn't it? Or how about Psalm 37:4? Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Or we look to 55:17. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. So a lot of beautiful teachings on prayer. From there, we looked at what it teaches us about the Word of God. And yes, we looked at Psalm 119, spent a lot of time in there, regrouped Psalm 119 by how we are to treat the Word of God. But there's also some great teachings in Psalms about the Word of God. Probably one of the most important is Psalms 12, verses 6 and 7, which says, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them." So the preservation of God's Word. In Psalms 12, and then, of course, that song we sing in Psalms 19, the law of the Lord is perfect and all of that. So we looked at what it teaches us about the Word of God, which is heaps, considering the longest chapter in the Bible is about the Word of God, Psalms 119. Then we looked at praise. Psalms is a book of praise. We looked at when we're to praise, what we're to praise God for, and that was a very enjoyable study. And then last week we started, number 5, trusting God. And wow, there's so much in Psalms about trusting God. So just a review from last week, we looked at the blessings of trusting God. Many times verses that say, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." We looked at the joy that comes from trusting God. And then we looked at the fact that when we're trusting God, there's no fear. And if we have fear, we're not trusting God. In other words, those two things cannot cohabitate. A good example there was Psalms 56:11. "In God I put my trust, I will not be afraid." And remember, I think we talked about this last Sunday, the most common phrase in the whole Bible. Anybody remember what it is? Don't fear. Do not fear, do not be afraid. Different forms of that phrase is the most common repetitive phrase in God's Word. Don't be afraid. Don't fear. Fear not. Isn't that something? And yet we fear all the time. But God says, don't fear. Amen? Then from there we looked at how we're to trust God when we're in the middle of trials. And we're always going to be in the middle of trials. An example was 42:5. Let's look there quickly while we're reviewing that. We're going to have the trials, but how should we respond? Psalm 42:5, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God." That's the answer, isn't it? Hope in God. Trust in God in the midst of the trials. And then we looked at how trusting and waiting go hand in hand. A lot of times, we're trusting God for something, but let's face it, we're impatient and we want it now, don't we? Well, now isn't necessarily God's timing, and God knows what's best. God tells us all through the Scriptures to wait on Him, but even in regards to trusting Him, we're told to wait while we trust. Amen? And a good example of that was Psalm 62, if you want to turn there quickly, verses 5 and 6. Psalm 62:5-6, "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. He only is my rock of my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved." Amen. Wait Wait on the Lord, Psalm 27:14. So, and then lastly, we're to trust God for direction, for Him to lead us. Amen. And we looked at that. A good example was Psalm 143:8. If you want to turn there quickly, 143:8, where He says, "Cause me to hear Thy loving kindness in the morning, for in Thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk." Amen. Show me the way. So that's just a quick review of how far we've gone so up to this point. And now we're going to see that when we do trust God, He promises to establish and strengthen us, which we always need strength, don't we? But this is a very common theme in Psalms, which we'll look at today. So Psalm 16:8, to get us started. Howard, if you could read that for us.
"I have set the Lord always before me, because He is at my right hand.
I shall not be moved." Let's pray. Lord, we love You so much. We thank You for Your precious word. Lord, this book of Psalms, how many lives has it encouraged the past thousands of years? We just thank You for it. And as we study it together this morning, may our hearts be encouraged again. May we grow and learn. And may You guide us and speak to each of us through the Holy Spirit. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So what we're studying now under trusting God in Psalms is that when we do trust God, He has promised to establish and strengthen us. Amen. So another great verse, Psalm 18:2. I'll be honest, Psalm 18:2, when I was doing this study, it so moved me, I had to add it to my memory verse list. It's such an amazing verse. You know, I know who my typical volunteers are to read. Are there any others willing to be volunteers to read Scripture as we pass it around? No pressure. Okay, we'll leave it at that. Brother Doug, thank you. Good. So, we move to Brother Brent. Psalm 18:2. Pay attention to all the things that God is in this verse.
"The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, the strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower."
Amen. What a verse. But today we're focusing on that strength. That when we trust God, He gives us strength. Amen. Psalm 27:1, Brother Roy, is another one.
"The Lord is my life and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?"
He is the strength of my life. Amen. Psalm 28:7, Mr. Zeus. 28:7, if you would.
"The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in Him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song will I praise Him."
Isn't that beautiful? He's my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in Him. That is our focus right now, is when we trust God, He's promised to be our strength. He's promised to establish us. Next, 31:24, Brad. He shall strengthen your heart. If what? If you hope and trust in the Lord. Now, Psalm 46:1, Doug. He's like me, old school. He uses the real Bible. Amen. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. 62:7-8. Back to Howard.
"And God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Selah."
Amen. The rock of my strength. That is our God. Brent, 73:25-26. We're talking about when we trust God, He promises to be our strength and to establish us.
"Whom have I in heaven but Thee?" Is that the
verse.
Yes.
And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever.
He is the strength of my heart. Amen. 112, 6 through 9, Roy.
Surely we shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. We shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. He hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor his righteousness and heard forever. His horn shall be exalted.
Amen. And then 125, verse 1, Mr. Zeus. 125, verse 1.
They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever.
Amen. They that trust in the Lord cannot be moved. So, these are verses that teach us that if we will trust God, He will strengthen us, He will establish us. We cannot be moved. So thoughts or questions about that particular topic in trusting God? Aren't you thankful we have these verses? Praise God. All right, so after this, we're going to look at how God also promises to be our defense. So this is different. This is when the devil attacks us, when the world attacks us, God promises that if we'll trust Him, He'll be our defense. He also uses the word shield and fortress and refuge, all of these teaching that we can hide in God and He will defend and protect us when we are attacked. But we got to trust Him. Brother Mark?
Yeah, like we started off and had read it off, I read Psalm 16:8.
Yes.
Yep. So that's Psalm 16:8 to 10. Peter quoted that in Acts 2.
Yes, he did.
He did. So he shared that.
Psalm 16 is prophetic about the Lord Jesus Christ as well. Verse 10, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. So now we're going to study that if we'll trust God, He will be our defense. Amen. He will be our refuge. He will be our fortress, which is such a blessing to know that we have Him. Almighty God, the Creator of the universe, promises that if we will trust Him as His children, He will defend us. He will be that place where we can hide. So let's look at this. Psalm 5:11 is where we'll start. I forget whose turn it is. It must be Brad's. Yes.
All those that put their trust in me rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest me. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in me.
So those that trust, notice it says, thou defendest them. Isn't that beautiful? Thou defendest them. Psalm 9, 9 through 10, Doug. A refuge. I love that word. Psalm 18:2 again. This one has so much in it, we're going to keep looking at it. So Howard, if you could read 18:2.
The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower.
So look at these words that talk about God defending or protecting us. Fortress, deliverer, high tower. All of these picture God defending His children when we trust Him. Praise the Lord. Psalm 28:7, Brent.
The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in Him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my soul will I praise Him.
My shield. Isn't that a blessing? We need God to be our shield. Psalm 33, 20 and 21, Roy.
Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and
our help and our shield. Psalm 36, verse 7, Mr. Zeus. 36, 7.
How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings.
Tell you folks, there's no better place to hide than under the shadow of God's wings. Amen? There's no better place to hide than there. Where were we? 46:1 again. Brad, if you would.
God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble.
He is our refuge. 57:1, Doug. We're all going to have calamities, but God says He'll be our refuge in the midst of those calamities. 61:4, Howard.
I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the cover of thy wings.
Everyone understands God does not have literal wings, right? Just checking. God is a spirit. Amen. But He's using this idiomatic language to teach us, because we can relate to a chicken hiding her chicks, or even an eagle or a hawk under her wings. So God is using that idiomatic language to teach us about Himself, that we can hide under His wings. Even Jesus, when He was pronouncing His woe on Jerusalem, He says, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chicken under her wings. So that, just make sure I threw that out there. God does not have literal wings. Amen. But what a great place to hide in the shadow of His wings. Was that 57?
61.
Okay. Mr. Karen, Psalm 62, 5 through 8. We're talking about God being a refuge and fortress and shield and defense when we trust Him.
My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us.
Refuge. Multiple times we're told He's our refuge in there. Roy, 84, 11, and 12. I should have mentioned this is a big one. Amen. God being our defense and our shield. He is our sun and our shield. 115:11, Mr. Zeus. 115, verse 11.
Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield.
Our shield. And then 119:114, Brad. Amen. And then I saved the best for last. Psalm 91. Most of you familiar with this passage. Verses 1 through 6. Psalm 91 tells us where to hide. Amen. Could there be any better comfort than these verses? Amen. Especially when you need God to protect you, to defend you, to be your shield. Hallelujah. So thoughts or questions about that aspect of trusting God in Psalms? There's still more. All right. So now God is also promised to be our deliverer. So to actually not only protect us, but to deliver us and to help us through the trials, through the attacks, to protect us from the enemy. And so many verses on this. So Psalm 17:7. I think it's Howard's turn again.
Show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou that savest by thy right hand them which put their trust in thee from those that rise up against them.
So from those that rise up against them, what does he promise to do? Be the right hand if we'll trust in him. And then Psalm 18:30, Mr. Cairns.
As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him.
That word buckler means protector. And then 25, verses 1 and 2. You ready? Unto thee, O Lord, unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul, do I lift up my soul, unto thee, O Lord, unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, O my God, I trust in thee, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed, let not mine enemies triumph over me. So God says, if we'll trust him, we can ask him that our enemies don't triumph over us. Amen? Isn't that beautiful? 25:20, Roy. Deliver me. 31:14 through 15, Mr. Zeus. Psalm 31:14 and 15.
But I trusted in thee, O Lord, and I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me.
Amen. And then 33:20 and 21, Brad.
Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name.
Amen. 34:7 and 8, Doug. And then 36:7, Howard.
How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings.
Amen. How many times does it talk about hiding under his wings, hiding under his feathers? And then Psalm 37:40, Mr. Cairns.
And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked.
Amen. And then 46:1 again, Roy. Amen. 115:11, Mr. Zeus. 115:11. And then we're going to read it one more time, Psalm 91, and then we'll be done. This time we're talking about how God promises to deliver us, to protect us and help us when we're attacked. Psalm 91, verse 1, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. No better place to hide than in the secret place. Amen? Of the Most High. And you know what? The world, unsaved people can't hide there. Only God's children can hide there. And what's the best way to hide there? Is to go to this. Amen? This is how we trust God. Is we spend time in His Word and we let Him speak to us through His Word. We let Him comfort us. We let Him encourage us. He promises to do that for us. God is the God of comfort. God is our deliverer. He's our shield. He is our high tower, our refuge. We could go on and on. He's our refuge and strength, a very present help. God's just not a far away help. He's a present help in trouble. So that's just the trust section. Amen. What a beautiful, beautiful thing. And I think I said this last week, but anybody who has quite a few memory verses, say over 100, I guarantee you the highest percentage from a single book would be from Psalms. It's just the way it is. You can look it up. What are the most popular verses that people memorize? And look how many of them are Psalms. So no wonder that he was a man after God's own heart. Amen? King David. Because look what God wrote through him. So any thoughts or questions about trusting God in the Psalms? I hope that some of you will take some of these verses on board and say, you know, I need that verse in my arsenal, and I'm going to memorize it so that the next time I have some fear come up or the next time I get attacked, the Holy Spirit can bring that verse up and I can trust God. Amen? No thoughts or questions? So next week, we're going to look at penitential, fancy word for repentance. So not only has Psalms taught us amazing things about trusting Him, about His Word, about prayer, about prophecy, about praising Him, but it also teaches us how to repent. Amen? Psalms 51 is probably one of the most beautiful psalms in the Bible. Brother Brad? I think many of the prophecies probably not. Now that they would have probably known some, but yeah, remember who wrote the Bible was God, right? No private interpretation. 2 Peter 1:21, prophecy came in old time, not by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So God wrote the Bible. That's called inspiration. If you don't believe that, you're in trouble. If you believe man wrote the Bible, well, then we're in trouble because man's sinful and wicked. And
that was like if you read from, what was it, Adam to Noah, all of the names.
Mm-hmm.
But if you write them into a sentence and look up the meaning, it's the gospel message. Right from the start of Adam means man. And so it says man sinned and then fell and
and that is true for so much of it. Amen. Remember when Jesus met the two men on the Emmaus Road? Look over in Luke 24. Remember, this book and Jesus are synonymous. Amen. His name is called the Word of God. And after he arose from the dead, he met these two men on the Emmaus Road. And the Bible says in Luke 24, down in verse 27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Imagine what that would have been like for Jesus to... We're just talking Old Testament here. The New Testament wasn't written yet. But Jesus took these men in a journey through the Old Testament and said, well, that's me, and that's me, and that's me, and that's me. Way back then, they didn't know that, did they? I mean, Melchizedek, They didn't know Melchizedek was Jesus. Or tonight in Joshua chapter 5, when we meet the captain of the Lord's host, that had to be Jesus. And you'll understand why after we look at it tonight. So Jesus actually appeared in the Old Testament and is all through the Old Testament. But did the writers know this? For the most part, no. They just wrote what God wrote through them. And yeah, we get the benefit of looking back and saying, oh yeah, this is quoted in the New Testament. That's a prophecy. Oh yes, that's a prophecy about Jesus hanging on the cross. But they couldn't have known that back then, in answer to your question. Any other thoughts or questions? So next week, again, we look at a couple, not all of them, but we're just going to look at a couple of the penitential psalms, primarily 32 and 51, which teach us how to repent. Amen? Do we ever need to repent? Every day. Amen? But David, you know, God said he was a man after his own heart, except in the matter of Uriah the Hittite, referring to the adultery with Bathsheba and then having her husband killed. Yes, David sinned horribly and he paid for it, didn't he? Not only did he lose the child, but then later on his sons rebelled against him and tried to steal away the kingdom. All of that because of his sin. So he definitely faced chastisement for it. But when he did repent, he gave us a beautiful map, if you will, on how to repent.